So in my day job as a counselor and a therapist, I often meet people at low points in their lives. Nobody tends to seek out someone like me because everything in their life is rainbows and butterflies. In fact, if someone came to my office and said, you know, I would just like to meet with someone weekly to let them know how great everything is going for me, we would think that something is a little off. I might even go, I think we've got a narcissist here. But I can actually imagine someone like Peter walking into my office, slumping down in the chair and saying, things have been pretty rough lately. That's where we meet Peter and the other disciples today. Given all that's been going on for them, they're probably feeling a certain emptiness and disorientation inside. And especially for Peter, things did not end well for him and Jesus. Now in the story, Peter and the disciples are going back to fishing. They had been traveling with Jesus for the prior few years, and everything had come crashing down. I think they're trying to pick up the pieces of their lives and just get back to something that feels familiar. Some of you know this reality all too well, trying to move on after a life-altering loss. Now, the passage we read from today, the 21st chapter of John, was thought to be an epilogue, an add-on to the Gospel of John, which ended with last week's reading. Jesus appears to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't there, and we hear the story of doubting Thomas. So today's story happens at some later point in time. Now, if this were a movie, the video would have faded to black last week, and we'd appear with the scene today, and then on the screen we would see words like 3 months later, or something like that. So we're not quite sure when this event happens after the Easter event, but it has so many themes for us to reflect on. And there are two that I'd like to focus on today. So the gospel describes the disciples as fishing all night and having caught nothing. And the stranger on the shore appears and offers some unsolicited advice for them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. Now, we recently had some work done at our house, had a new heating system installed. And can you imagine if I lingered in the basement with the Betlem workers, for example, and I was like, hey guys, I'm not sure you're using the right wrench there, you know? Why don't you move the whole thing to the left a little? They might have thought, who does this guy think he is? So today's gospel story is not about Jesus, you know, this carpenter giving some armchair fishing advice from a distance. Jesus is giving some life advice. The left side of the boat, where they have been catching nothing, is meant to represent those parts of our lives where we have become stagnant or stuck. And yet we keep doing what we've always done. I often think about what Father Jim used to say, if the horse you are riding on dies, get off it. But so many of us get stuck in our lives. We keep fishing off the same side of the boat, catching nothing, and yet we keep fishing there. I mean, it's like the Alcoholics Anonymous definition of insanity, that we keep doing the same thing over and over, and yet we expect a different result. And I love the story of these two construction workers who catch up every day at lunch. And so Bill asks his coworker, hey, what do you have for lunch? Dan looks in his lunchbox and says, ah, a cheese sandwich. The next day, Bill asks Dan, what do you got today? He says, oh my God, another cheese sandwich. So day three, Bill asks one more time, hey, what's for lunch? He says, ah, cheese sandwich again. So Bill, who's a little frustrated, says to Dan, not for nothing, pal, but if you don't like cheese sandwiches, you should really talk to your wife so she doesn't pack them for you anymore. Dan says, tell my wife, I make my own lunch. So Jesus from the shore gives us a little bit of unsolicited advice today, not because he's trying to show us how great he is, but because he wants a great life for us. He wants us to live a full life, and he watches us sometimes go through the motions and catching nothing. So he invites us today to take some risks, to do something new, to fish from another side of the boat. Now, of course, these changes are easier said than done. And at the personal level, the work it takes to fish from another side of our boat can be messy and complicated. We may need help in order to make some of these changes. Maybe a spiritual director, a counselor, a support group, or a trusted friend. And it may require us to let go of worrying what other people are going to think of us if we make this change. It might invite us to set new boundaries with people or to say no to something so that we can say a deeper yes. It may require us to get more honest with ourselves and others. And often this process takes a lot of trust, meaning that we usually have to take action before we see a lot of results. Now, the same is true at a collective level. You know, I've been to a lot of rallies and protests recently, and it's been great to see so many of you out there. So many people are hitting the streets across this nation and across this world because we know what's going to happen if we keep fishing from the side of the boat that we're fishing from. We're not going to catch anything there, and there literally might be no more fish to catch. So it's crucial that we keep making our voices heard because a lot is at stake, and we will have to keep acting even if it doesn't feel like we're accomplishing a lot on any given day. Now, the second point I want to make is related to the first. Quite often, it takes some form of unraveling of life as we know it to lead us to the conclusion that we should try fishing from another side of the boat. Now, some have described this as 2x4 spirituality, meaning that it's only when life hits us with a 2x4 in the head that we finally go, geez, maybe it's time for a change. Peter obviously had had a 2x4 moment, and what I love about today's reading is how Jesus interacted with him after it. Jesus knows that Peter denied him 3 times, and I'm sure that Peter feels horrible about it, even ashamed, and Jesus is aware of this. Jesus also knows that Peter is just trying to get on with his life, to achieve some kind of normalcy, but he might be ignoring some underlying issues. And so Jesus, who knows that you can't heal from something without telling the truth, leans into the conversation. One of the foremost researchers on shame is Brené Brown, and she says, perhaps the most dangerous thing we can do after a shame event is to bury it or try to hide it. Jesus does not want Peter to bury this story, because he wants Peter to be well. And shame and secrecy do not make us well. Furthermore, Jesus is inviting Peter to accept all of himself, with all his strengths and all his struggles, because Jesus has already accepted all that. You know, I read about a rally that happened in Oakland, California a few years ago. It was called the Vulnerability Rally. And instead of being a protest where people went, you know, denouncing something, people were invited to make a sign and put on it something about themselves that they would normally like to hide. And so, you know, everyone had a large piece of cardboard, and then they stood there with their messages for the people to look at. Participants wrote things like, I'm afraid I'm not doing enough with my life. I drink to hide my pain. I don't feel like I make a difference. And so many of the participants who were part of that gathering that day said it was one of the most powerful things they have attended, because people took a vulnerability on about what was really going on in their lives. Now, Peter's sign might have said, I betrayed my best friend. But Jesus doesn't shame or judge him. Now, some of you may relate to this experience. I think back to when I was young. We had dogs, and we trained our dogs not to go to the bathroom in the house. Maybe you've gone down that road. And so our dog, Sam, sometimes he would go somewhere in the house, and when we'd discover it, my dad would promptly grab him by the collar, drag him into the room at the scene of the crime, stick his nose in it, and go, no. Now, I can imagine that our dog, Sam, was like, why are you sticking my nose in this disgusting stuff? I don't understand you. It smells horrible. And what I love is that Jesus doesn't rub Peter's nose in this past. He doesn't cut him off, and he doesn't cancel him. He doesn't shout at or demean him. Why? Because Jesus knows that you can't create a movement of love and belonging based on these things. This is not what helps people heal. And yet it's often what we fall back on, personally and collectively, because this has generally surrounded us in our families, our schools, our communities, our churches, and our society. You know, I'm reading a great book right now called Fierce Vulnerability by Kazu Haga. He's a dedicated nonviolence practitioner who has studied and trained in the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr. And Kazu often says, "We do not rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our practice." And I want to say that again because it's something that I'm thinking a lot about these days. We don't rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our practice. And Kazu notes that so many of us have only witnessed behaviors that keep us stuck in the same old cycles of responding out of the places of hurt or trauma. So if we're going to be able to stop the cycle, we will need new practices, and we will need to practice them. Now, we know from social psychology that when people lack a sense of internal power, they often try to fill the gap by seeking power externally. And this can lead some people to become bullies. Our daily headlines give us many examples of this. And we also know that so many people in our world, because of experiences of trauma and harm, struggle with some version of telling themselves, "I don't belong, I'll never be good enough, I'm always going to be left out, or I'll always be alone." And our social and economic systems reinforce this for them. I think Jesus understood this, and he wanted his followers to experience a sense of internal power and a sense of belonging so that they, in turn, could bring that out into the world. He wants Peter and his disciples to be healed so that they can become powerful social healers. And he wanted this sense of beloved community to spread everywhere. The great bell hooks once said, "When wounded individuals come together in groups to make change, our collective struggle is often undermined by all that has not been dealt with emotionally." So Jesus gets close to Peter today, like he wants to get close to us. He asks Peter to be accountable without shaming or demeaning him. He asks Peter to do his emotional work so that Peter can be a healing presence in the world. And then he offers Peter a way back, and he says, "There is a place for you here. You belong. I need you. Follow me." And he says the same words to us today. There is a place for you here. You belong. I need you. Follow me. The resurrected Jesus doesn't want us to go back to business as usual. He doesn't want us to hide or just try to move on with our lives and keep fishing from the same side of the boat. He wants something better for us, for all of us. Kazu Haga says that in order to dig out of the poly crisis that we are in, we will need to be at our best. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to be at our best. And to be our best, individually and collectively, we will need to do our emotional healing work. We will need to take some courageous risks. We will need to keep standing up to the harm that's happening. And we will need to be vulnerable with each other and hold each other accountable. And as the violence around us escalates, and it likely will escalate, we will need to escalate and scale up our efforts at connection, empathy, belonging, and resistance. But we have a good teacher who keeps beckoning us from the shore. He wants us, all of us, with all of our strengths and all of our struggles, to go fishing with him. I do hope we keep accepting the invitation.